You're listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. Trying to find solutions for people who are homeless can be challenging. Sometimes the options are limited. Sometimes they don't exist at all. But the efforts can be creative and they can be inspiring. For instance, there's a gingerbread house competition that's happening right here at Capital Public Radio just after Thanksgiving. In a few different ways, it will highlight the issue of homelessness. John Foley is joining me. He's the executive director of Sacramento Self-Help Housing. Hi, welcome to Insight.
Good morning. Thanks for letting me be here.
This type of work started for you at Loaves and Fishes, an organization that we were just mentioning.
Yes.
And what were you doing and how did it strike you so that it changed what you wanted to continue to do?
Well, I was working there. We had noticed that a lot of the people, or some of the people that came for help at Loaves and Fishes, actually had a significant income from, it's called SSI, Supplemental Security Income from Social Security, because they were disabled folks. And they were required to have a payee, and often the payee would be like their bartender, you know, that kind of thing, so that the money wasn't going to really help them pay rent and that kind of thing. They were getting ripped off by people. Maybe they'd get rolled out in the street. So I was helping to set up a what we called a payee program, where we could help manage their money and make sure rent got paid, and they would have, you know, like a certain amount per week to buy food. And after a while, I realized once that was in place, the big issue was finding housing for people, that it was very challenging to find decent housing for the folks that I was working with. So I started working with landlords, particularly downtown, and a number of them were willing to let me sort of take over their house and move four or five guys into a house, and each would have their own room, and they each pay a couple hundred bucks a month or whatever for their rent. This was 20 years ago, a little cheaper back then.
Right. But out of that came Sacramento Self-Help Housing.
Yeah. I just realized how important it is, really for all of us, to have a stable place to live. You know, having a home means you have a chance to have a place to rest where you can close the door and you feel safe. When people sleep outside, you know, you're never safe. And so it, you know, just really makes a big difference in how you can approach everything in your life. But it also includes just having a refrigerator so you can actually buy groceries and have a place to store them, having a stove so you can cook a meal, having a bathroom so you can feel secure just in you know, the personal needs. When people are stuck on the street and something, you know, bad happens health-wise, they're on the street with that. Most of us can sort of deal with it, you know, in a private kind of way. And so having a home makes a big difference in every way. And so I really got committed to trying to work with people to help them have a home to live in.
What kind of change did you witness in people moving from the street into a home? And how did they handle being in a house?
Well, like, I could bump into a guy just a couple of days ago who I'd helped house a while back. And it, what just struck me was how happy he seemed. He smiled. He greeted me warmly before I saw him. He invited me in to show me his room. And it was neat and tidy and all that. And when I had seen him at first, he had been disheveled. He had been, you know, dirty. He had been, you know, kind of down in the mouth, kind of depressed. And I think that's a pretty common observation for folks, that when you're on the street, you're careful, you're cautious, you're a little bit anxious all the time, always looking over your shoulder. And when you have a home, suddenly you have something that gives you some pride, some confidence in yourself, and something you can share, you know, with other people. I mean, some people that we've worked with, we have this one program, we work with the DA's office and Sutter Hospital, where we are working with street drunks in downtown Sacramento, folks who just aren't able to stop drinking, and we house them. And they can get to a point where they can actually reconnect with family. I mean, people who had been isolated and cut off from that for years, because they have a home now, they have a place that they can invite someone to, and they're just like a different person. And it's sort of a dignity thing, you know? I mean, it's pretty undignified, frankly, to be sleeping outside. And when you have a home, you know, you can say, hey, come on over, let's have some lunch, we can watch a game. Makes a big difference in somebody's hope.
The way you're describing clientele, I'm getting the picture of a man who's alone on the street.
When I was at Loaves and Fishes, that was a lot of who I was working with. Mm. In fact, one reason we still are at Loaves and Fishes, but we stopped just working there, was that more and more people were coming to me who were not at Loaves and Fishes, who were couples that were, you know, facing economic difficulties and couldn't maintain their housing, or women with children who needed help. We got a contract with the county at one point to help women with children, because the school district were reporting thousands of children over the course of a year who would experience homelessness, whose parents couldn't maintain their housing. And it was hugely disruptive to their education. And so we really got involved in trying to figure out ways to maintain their housing. We just got a different contract with Sacramento County actually this year to work with like landlord-tenant issues, partly because they recognized, you know, the challenge that represents to tenants. You know, it's a real power thing. Some landlords don't feel very powerful, and I certainly understand that if you're, you know, just have one house or something. But a lot of landlords own a lot of property, have a lot of money, and a tenant feels very weak in that situation. If they have a medical emergency, they fall behind a month on rent, sometimes they can't even talk to their landlord because, you know, they're just so worried that they're going to lose their housing, and eventually they are potentially going to get evicted. So we get a chance now to get that call, to intercede, to help the person to be confident enough to talk to the landlord and to make a payment plan to maintain their housing. Makes a huge difference in the children's education, in their ability to stay healthy, and just everything about their life.
On the 25th, the city council is going to vote on this contract with Sacramento
Steps Forward.
With Common Sense. How will you be a link in that working out on the street?
Oh, that is really exciting. I met with the Steps Forward people a couple of days ago about this, and they tentatively awarded us the contract. They've got to get the city council to approve it. But what we're going to be able to do is lease up several houses in Sacramento, and we'll be able to receive the people that these new navigators, these homeless outreach workers are going to encounter on the street. These will be veterans that are sleeping on the street. These will be chronically homeless folks that are on the street, and they'll be able to bring them to us same day they're encountered, and we'll be able to move them right into a house. I mean, that's just the best. And then we can hook them up with services. Once they're there for a while, we can figure out what kind of housing, you know, permanently would really work for them and move them on into that. So that's just really exciting.
Maya Wallace just called it a game changer for the homeless issue in Sacramento.
I don't think that. It's not big enough for that. But for those individuals, it is a game changer.
You are listening to John Foley. He is the executive director of Sacramento Self-Help Housing. Now let's talk gingerbread houses. Because we have this contest coming up December 4th.
It's really cool.
4th,
it's on,
right?
December 4th. It's the week after Thanksgiving. Yeah, Don Appadoni was one of our judges last year. We've been doing it at the downtown plaza. And of course, that's now torn down to make way for the arena.
Right.
So we had no place to do it this year. And she called up and said, hey, you could come to our place over at Capital Public Radio. And of course, we were thrilled to do that. It's just so much fun to do it. People make these gingerbread houses, and some of them are just sort of your standard gingerbread house, which is fine. But like we had somebody last year who made a rather large gingerbread state capitol.
Mm.
And then if you look closely down by the front stairs, there was sleeping there a homeless guy. And I thought, oh, geez. Mm-hmm. And somebody else had this like a gingerbread freeway overpass. If you looked under that, there was a guy camping under the freeway overpass. We had one of the houses that we have some formerly homeless women live there, and they made a gingerbread house, and it was kind of their idealized gingerbread house where we would want to be, you know. That was really, you know, charming. The one problem was they didn't realize that you have to let them set up, and so they tried to bring it over, you know, later in the day after they had finished it that morning, and in the car it sort of bump, 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 and it sort of collapsed. And so it almost made it look like where, unfortunately, some homeless people end up staying is sort of dilapidated homes around town. So that, oh, geez, it's almost a statement like that.
Oh, well.
So if you do bring a gingerbread house, make it, let it sit for a day or two, and then bring it over.
And that's a point. You can deliver your gingerbread houses in advance of the 4th here to Capital Public Radio. A lot of people do that, don't they?
Yes. I think the way we're going to set it up, I mean, often what happens is that people will take the Thanksgiving weekend, you know, families are together, it's sort of fun to have a project. So you make a gingerbread house, sort of a neat thing to do together. And then you could bring it over on either Wednesday or Thursday, and we will be here to receive them and hold on to them until Thursday evening when we have kind of the big display and all that kind of thing.
It's a fundraiser, too, for the issue, isn't it?
Well, it is. I don't know. I mean, I always hope people are going to give me some money because, you know, we need the money.
Right. But I think it's a fun way to, especially if you made it a family event, to raise the subject and be able to make this project and talk about homelessness.
It really is. We had a school teacher down in Elk Grove. We do a lot of work in Elk Grove these days. And a teacher there had her class make some gingerbread houses. And one of our staff went down and talked with the class and sort of, you know, educated them on homelessness and on what's going on in town and everything. So there's a lot of ways that it can really be educational and, you know, involve, well, people of all ages, you know. I mean, part of what I really think is true is that homelessness, it's not just a big regional issue or a national issue, although, of course, it is, but it's also a very local issue. I mean, we encounter a homeless person right here sleeping in the park. Like if you're in Citrus Heights, you go to Rush Park, there's somebody sleeping in Rush Park.
True.
Or if you go to Elk Grove and you look behind the store, there's somebody sleeping down along the railroad tracks there. And you want to do something. And it's hard to do something big regionally, but it's possible to do something small locally. In Elk Grove, we encountered people, I guess they're mostly church folks, got connected up with the Elk Grove Food Bank at first, and then they connected up with us. They called themselves People Assisting the Homeless Path. Mm-hmm. And because of their interest in working with homeless folks and providing services to them, the city council got interested because they could see citizens were interested in doing this. The city council bought us a house. We now have a transitional house in Elk Grove and been doing that for a year, and people kind of pass through there as we get them stabilized. Just bought us a second house where we can have families stay there. Doing the same thing in Rancho Cordova, where a group of citizens have come together and are now going to have their own little winter sanctuary. They had participated last year in this larger one, you know, that she was talking about a few minutes ago. But they found that people who are homeless in Rancho Cordova aren't going to come all the way downtown to sign up and then get bused back. And so now they have it right in Rancho Cordova, and people are going to be able to stay, you know, right where they are. Because most people who are homeless, they're homeless because this is where they live. You know, I live in Citrus Heights. I live in Rancho Cordova. Even though I'm camping out, this is my home. And we want to provide services right where people are.
We are all always looking for our home, aren't we? However we define it.
I think most of us do. Most of us having a home and having a sort of a dream of having, you know, a place to call home is pretty fundamental to who we are and feeling good about ourselves. Yeah.
Well, John, thank you very much. Have a lovely Thanksgiving. And then we'll see you with gingerbread
and
frosting
gingerbread house on
December 4th.
Yes. Thank you, Beth. Really appreciate it.
John Foley is the executive director of Sacramento Self-Help Housing. Is Donna judging again this year?
She wasn't sure if she was conflicted a little bit because she's here at Cat Public Radio, so we're not sure
I think
role
we have to tip
play.
Her right over the edge there. Thanks again. The Gingerbread House contest, again, is December 4th. There are details on our website and some pictures of some really stunning gingerbread houses from before. You'll have to register, and we'll tell you all about it if you go to capradio.org/insight. You're listening to Insight from Capital Public Radio.